Introduce a character in the Bible some of you will know, some of you may be not so familiar with. His name is Bartimaeus. Just like the guy in the movie that I talked about, he'd been blind since birth. He'd only known what he experienced by touch or hearing. He had friends, probably many of them were also had some infirmity as well. He knew who he could trust, who he couldn't trust. He had a routine that worked for him. He would sit by the roadside or near the temple entrance every day and beg. And that was fine for him. That's all he'd ever known. But one day he came face to face with someone who would change his life forever. He had a dilemma that we face as well. That when we face a broken road that leads from darkness to light, sometimes it's a struggle. I'm going to read this about Bartimaeus. I'll be reading from Mark 10, verse 46, if you'd like to follow along. Then they, that's the disciples and Jesus, came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, clearly he'd heard about Jesus, he'd heard about what they were saying about him and some of the things he had done, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." There's good reason to cheer up if Jesus is calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, we'll come back to that in just a minute, he jumped on his feet and came to Jesus. Again, probably people pushing him in the right direction, pushing him toward Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately, not partially, not in a while, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus all along the road. You know, I remember growing up in West Virginia, so maybe some of you have some of those northern memories as well, but I lived on a dirt road, and it was fine in the summer, it was dusty, but the wintertime had its own problems. The road would freeze, then it would thaw, then there was mud, then it would freeze. Then it would thaw, and then there was more mud. And as vehicles drove through the wet mud, they would begin to build ruts. Then it would freeze. And then you found yourself with craters in the road. Literally, I had craters at times that was higher than my kneecaps. And I learned very young that you'd better choose your rut wisely because you may be in it for some time. That's kind of about life, too. Sometimes things are deep and scary, and you may not like the path you're on, and as you go along, it seems more frightening. Bartimaeus in our text understood that he was living in the rut of blindness. He had one chance to get out, even if the future was totally unknown to him. Now, when we travel the road of difficulties, we have to learn that we can't always choose the condition and the difficulties of a road you take from dark to light. And you can choose whether to stop, many people do, or to continue on. This morning, I'm going to help you to navigate three potential hazards you may encounter on your journey from darkness to light. These are hazards that I think just about everybody faces and everybody goes through in the process of going from dark to light. You're going to see some cozy little towns along the way that are just going to beg for you to pull over. Let's say our first one. I call the familiar. The familiar. It's easy, and it's fair to say we all like the familiar. You may have a favorite T-shirt that's really familiar to you, or a pair of shoes that are falling off your feet, but you like them. How many have some of those? Yeah. Oh, this one's good. How about a pillow? You have a pillow you take with you. If you go to a hotel, you try the pillows, you're like Goldilocks. It's too hard, it's too soft, it's just wrong. How many of you have one of those? My arm's up there too. I take my pillow with me. How many of you had exact same route to work or to church? And there are a lot of ways you can go, but you go the exact same way every time. How many of those? Yeah. We like the familiar. We like going the way we go, to see the things we see, to have the things we have. It's hard to imagine the life of Bartimaeus because all things in his life had been familiar. But blindness was all he'd ever known his whole life. He probably had a few friends he could trust. It might be, again, other beggars or people with infirmities, and he could trust them, and they were familiar. He knew how many paces it was to the temple gates. He knew how many paces it was to the market. He knew what the sound of a horse and carriage coming behind him and how to get off the road and when to get off the road and when he could get back on the road just by hearing it. He probably recognized a lot of people just by their voice. He'd given up on the idea of ever seeing. He was familiar with his life, and he accepted that. But in this little cozy little town of familiar, on your journey from darkness to light sounds comfortable, you might get comfortable and never want to leave. You may think there's nothing better than what you're doing right now and how you're doing it, who you are, where you are, what you're doing, the journey through life. You've met other travelers. They're just passing through. But you get comfortable and you decide, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I am. This is the way I'm going to be. The familiar. And I wonder what pain in your life has become so familiar that you now just accept it as part of life. An abusive relationship, verbally, physically, sexually. You think no one's ever truly going to love me and this is the way life is. An addiction, drugs, alcohol, porn, unhealthy relationships. It's become familiar. You think you're never going to be able to get away from that, so it's just life. There's a lot of this, loneliness. You come to believe that no one really cares and you're going to be totally alone the rest of your life. Or is it fear that makes you think, at least in this place, you don't have to risk anything because it's comfortable, it's familiar? We've come to believe that the fear of the unknown is better than the fear, or the fear of the known, even if it is bad, is better than the fear of the unknown because we're all scared of the unknown. Bartimaeus understood this. He had to take a change from darkness to light, and it was going to be scary. God's word's full of passages that speak of bravery. Proverbs 20, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How can anyone understand his own? Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, we have powerful flashlights now. We can turn them on and they can shine for hundreds and hundreds of yards. It's amazing the kind of power, the lumens that those flashlights have. But I'm wondering, one of our famous power outages in Ocala, I wonder if you've ever had to use the candle. Just a little candle, and you're trying to walk in the dark, and you can't see 100 feet, you can't see 50 feet, you're lucky if you can say 3 or 4 feet. And when that scripture was talking about the light of the candle, it's only talking about a little bit ahead. And that's how God is with us. He doesn't tell us maybe what's going to happen 50 years from now in your life, but he might tell you what's going to be next. That's the benefits of having God watching over you and extending your life days by days. The second hazard you might come across we'll call the skeptical. No matter where you run to or go to in life, you're going to find skeptics. It seems like they know what they don't like. They know what won't work, but they don't have any ideas of what to do. I'm going to wonder, this is for husbands. Any husbands, have you ever played the restaurant guessing game? You see, you're laughing because you already know what it is. Let's go to lunch, honey. Sure, that sounds fine. Where do you want to go? Oh, anywhere. Anywhere's fine with me. How about Applebee's? Oh, no, I went there yesterday. How about Longhorns? Oh, it's too expensive. How about Chili's? No, I got an upset stomach last time I went there. How about Harry's? Oh, never get in. Well, where do you want to go? Oh, anywhere. I think some guys have played that game here. Yeah, we play that game all the time at our house. No one had a way to help Bartimaeus, but when he tried to shout out to get the attention of Jesus, he did that on his own as a step of faith. It says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Then he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Being blind, he would have been very difficult, if not impossible, for Bartimaeus to find Jesus. Think about that. There's a large crowd going by. He's on the side of the road. He's calling out for Jesus, but he has no idea where he is. Jesus hasn't spoken. He's walking with the crowd. And if he hadn't called out, Jesus never would have seen him or heard him. And now that Jesus has, the only way he got there, as I mentioned before, probably people were pushing him, getting him to be in front of Jesus. It was the only way he could do it. He didn't even know when he was there until he was there, until Jesus spoke. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they're called to the blind man. Cheer up, you're on your feet. He's calling you. And then there's a real key verse we just kind of float through, but I think it says something. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. That's how he was getting pushed along. I want you to understand, this is big. When a blind person throws something down and walks away from it, they're basically saying, I don't want this anymore. Because how are they going to find it? He's blind. You have no orientation of where you walk. He threw down his one possession that he had and carried with him. It was his bed, it was warmth, his security. He threw it aside when he called to Jesus. You see, he was demonstrating the kind of faith that he had. And the skeptics were saying, you don't need to be quiet. Be quiet. Shut up. Don't talk. But he stepped out. Bartimaeus didn't listen to the skeptics as they told him to be quiet. He shouted down the skeptics, threw down his one valuable possession to say, I'm going to trust in Jesus, and went to him. Brings us to the third hazard on the journey from darkness to light. It's called bitterness. If you've ever been a driver very long, especially in Ocala, Florida, if you've witnessed someone do something stupid while driving, that resulted in an accident, a lane change without warning, a sudden brake, an illegal turn in front of you, running a red light, stoplight. Some of you have sore ribs because you've been poked just now a couple times. You might have witnessed that because you might have been the one doing it. In either case, there's a lot of business often yelling and screaming. On your road from darkness to light, bitterness can pile up and overtake you. You know, Bartimaeus had kind of a reason to be bitter. Maybe he and his friends sat around from time to time saying, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you make me blind? Why did you make me lame? Why did you do all the things that all of his friends might have said? Why did you do this? Interesting, I did a little study and found out why the reason for blindness was, they were so prevalent in the first century. They had two reasons, which seemed to me so obvious. One is just simply cleanliness. You know, you and I are like, oh, I'm going to go take a shower. You know, we walk in, turn on the water, and sing sometimes very inappropriately, and it's easy. But there were no showers. There were no baths. Pretty much everything was with a pitcher. Now, some of you may be old enough to remember back to the days maybe when you didn't have water in the house and you remember a pitcher. It's not fun. And that's the way that most of the time people kept themselves clean. Babies often were neglected in that. Often. Second reason is because of lack of vitamins that were in the diet. People ate a lot of the same things over and over. There weren't all that many vegetables. There was meat product, and a lot of children just went blind because they didn't have enough vitamins in their daily diet. But Bartimaeus didn't have any bitterness in that. Instead, he pushed it aside. He does something very unique. He worships. He used the phrase, David, Son of David, have mercy on me. This was acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. And this man's attitude was not demanding. Some may have thought, well, I deserve to be healed. He was just saying in his heart, what do you want me to do for you? The story is repeated in Luke 18:41. Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says this, as asking, Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Again, here's that word. I don't think it's by chance it's repeated in another gospel. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. This man not only left his cloak behind when he came to Jesus and was healed, he began following Jesus and praising Jesus to the extent that he began to bring other people following and praising Jesus. There was no bitterness in this man. He was just praising God and worshiping. He was so glad that God had healed him. Jesus was the man he said he was. Bartimaeus believed it. What about you? What's the darkness you struggle with? Maybe your darkness has led you to destroy some relationships, to be isolated. Maybe you struggle with depression on a daily basis, substance dependency, feeling like a failure. Let me just ask you, when you close your eyes and your mind goes to that negative thing you hold back, are you ready to get past it? Past the familiarity that keeps you warm and cozy when you're stuck in familiarity? Past the skeptics who say, you'll never change, you've always been like this, you'll never change. Past the bitterness that holds you captive with anger and disappointments and all the things in life you feel like didn't happen and should have happened. Are you ready to walk from darkness to light? Because darkness can kill, and light gives life. True story. There were some very talented divers in Cincinnati, Ohio, University of Cincinnati, in 1967. They were going to have the Olympics. These athletes were preparing for the Olympics. One of these talented individuals was named Charles Murray. He was favored to win the gold at the Olympics. Extremely talented young man. Murray had a good friend who was a Christian who often would share his faith with Murray. He was intrigued and asked a lot of questions about forgiveness. You see, Murray had a troubled past with his family, and he really struggled with the idea of forgiveness. Many times, God can forgive us long before we can forgive ourselves. And so he was really struggling with forgiveness. And so he said, I'd like to look at some scriptures about forgiveness. And he said, I'd be happy to come over and share them with you. He said, no, I tell you what, just give me the scripture to listen. I want to read them myself. So he wrote them down, and he decided he was going to study those. And he went home and looked them all up and read them again. And he decided he was going to have to think about this. And he always felt like he thought better when he was diving. It was a place he could kind of clear his mind and focus. And so he walked over to the Aqua Center. He had a key because he was always there swimming. And since he'd been training for the Olympics, dead of night. But the Aqua Center was covered completely by a glass dome, a full moon right overhead. He came in, and it was almost like daylight, he felt. And he climbed the 10-meter ladder and sat on the platform, and he said, I don't even need the lights. He could see the moon coming straight down on him and could see. So he began opening in his Bible and reading those passages again and again and again. He decided it was time for him to relax, get his mind clear, and he walked to the end of the platform, and getting ready for his dive, he turned around like this and extended his arms to get ready to dive. And when he did, that moon shining from behind him portrayed a cross right on the wall. He saw that cross, and it just crushed him because he finally came to realize what Jesus had done for him. And he walked away from the edge and walked back to the ladder and sat on the floor and was crying when he heard a noise and the door opened and a janitor came in with his cart and his broom and flipped the lights on. And that's when Murray looked over and noticed that they had emptied the pool. That night began the journey that he had in coming to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. True story. Walking from darkness to light can be a painful experience, but darkness kills. It kills ambition. It kills life. It kills joy. But light gives life. The light of the cross will shine in your own life when you allow the sun to shine on you. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. When you begin to live outside of familiarity, when you begin to live away from skeptics, when you begin to realize the bitterness that you carry for some things, maybe years ago, has been holding you back from living. The light brings life. Isn't it time for you to have life? Would you pray with me? Father, everyone in this room has things in their life that have held them back. The way they were treated, the way they were raised, some impact from someone else, a decision they made, a life choice, a bad experience that happened to them. And since then, we've struggled. Maybe we found a place called familiarity in our own life, and suddenly this is where we decided just to stop and stay. This is what I'll do the rest of my life. This is who I'll do this with the rest of my life. This is the way I'll live the rest of my life. And maybe there's in the along the process that we go, we've had our times when we've had our share of skeptics that have been around us, and soon we begin to live like the people we surround ourselves. And maybe bitterness has now become part of our life. We can't understand why we're always depressed, why the emotion of being anxious is the number one emotion that people struggle with in the United States of America. In a land of plenty, the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and we live with anxiety. Father, maybe it's time to turn to you and turn away from that darkness. That darkness that's been controlling our life, we've been walking through, stumbling through, and it's time to turn to the light, to step outside of familiarity and step toward Jesus. I pray someone here today is ready to make that kind of shift in their life that could change their eternity. I pray that in Jesus' name.